Well, good evening. It's good to have you with us again on our live broadcast, and we will continue this even though we will be meeting Sunday, and want the church to remember we'll be meeting at 10 o'clock. We're not going to be having Sunday school for a little bit, but because of the close quarters of our Sunday school rooms, but we will have our worship service, church, at 10 o'clock, and so we want you to come out and be with us. Also, Sunday night, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Those of you who may not come to church here that's been listening to our live broadcast, if you'll just stay in contact where on the church's Facebook, it will notify you when we go live. It'll normally be about 15, 20 minutes after we get started in our services. And we'll try to get some of the singing at times and then the preaching, if possible. So if you'll remember that, we do have a list on our church's Facebook to let you know some things that we'll be doing Sunday a little differently. And we'll try our best to keep everyone separated and try to group up in families and different things like that. But we still want to come and be able to worship the Lord and have our mind upon worshiping the Lord. And He'll take care of the rest. And I still believe it's God's desire that we are to not forsake the assembling ourselves together. And even so much more, the Bible reminds us, as we see that day approaching. And so we want you to remember that. We are thankful for the many prayer requests that God's answered this last week. We mentioned them Sunday, and we're thankful for those. But we do have a couple others that people mentioned. Vicki Perkins wanted us to remember her in prayer, and I want to lift her up in prayer. And Missy Stevens wanted us to remember her mother, and so we want to, her name's Barbara, to lift her up in prayer. And then I have a first cousin, his son, Kate. I want to remember him in prayer as well. As well as an aunt that is want to continue lifting her up. It's good to have you with us. We've been doing a study on the spirit, soul, and flesh, or body. And so we hope that you've been getting something out of it. If you're turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we've actually went there the last couple of times, but I want to highlight a couple new things tonight, if you would. Now, we've learned some things. If you've been with us throughout the study, we've learned some things that about the flesh. The flesh doesn't change after you get saved. The flesh is as rotten after you get saved as it is before you get saved. The thing that we have a hard time grasping, and the reason why so many people who are saved struggles with certain things that they do in life and think, well, I couldn't do that, or I couldn't think that way, or I couldn't feel that way if I was saved. And the reason why they do that is because they don't understand the functions of the flesh. The Bible reminds us that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. Paul reminds us of things he would do, he didn't do, things he would not do, those things he found himself doing because of the flesh. We also are reminded that we have three enemies: the devil, which we'll all agree, the world, and our flesh. That's the hardest thing for Christians to grasp, is they have an enemy living within themselves, the flesh. And we have to deal with that each and every day of our life. It wars against the spirit. Now, we also looked at the soul a little bit, and we recognized that the three major functioning things of the soul is the mind, the emotions, and the will of man. And it has other functions that it does, but the soul is what's responsible to God. And it's responsible for how it reacts to the flesh dealing with it and to the spirit dealing with it. Tonight we want to take a look at the spirit. Now, if I was to ask you, tell me what you know about your spirit. When God makes your spirit alive, tell me what the Bible teaches us about the spirit. I've talked to several people who are saved, and they don't have a very good understanding of the functions of the spirit. Now, we looked a little bit at the functions of the flesh, And you've got to remember the soul is either affected by our flesh or it's affected by our spirit. And so, and then if it's affected by our flesh, then the spirit, our spirit grieves within us. And if the soul is affected by our spirit and follows the leading guiding of the spirit, then the flesh has to fall in submission to it. And so tonight we want to look, and really probably go into the next couple of nights, we want to look at the functions of the spirit. A man, once you've been born again, once you had spiritual life come into you and you have eternal life, then your desire should be to walk spiritual and to be spiritual. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul reminds the Corinthian church they are saved, but he reminds those that are allowing the flesh to control them and those that are allowing the spirit to control them. He calls one carnal, he calls the other one spiritual. And we've covered that already, but now I want you to zoom in on a few words as we read, starting in chapter 2 and verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen. Now remember, the eye is part of the body that allows things on the outside to affect the soul. In other words, the eye sees and it affects the soul sometimes in what it sees. Not only that, nor the ear heard. Again, your ear is one of the gateways that things get from the outer world into your soul, into your mind, into your heart, into your thinking, and so forth. It says, neither have entered into the heart of man. So again, it's important to understand, it's not the heart that is able to discern God's will. It's not the heart where God deals. We'll look at that here in a moment. He says, neither in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, notice there in verse 10, he tells us that God has revealed them to us when we get saved. He's revealed them to us by his Spirit. Now, remember, last week we looked at the Spirit is the Holy Spirit resides in our spirit. Once it's made alive, it is made a place, and it's a proper place, a sinless place, a place fit for the Holy Spirit to dwell. And so therefore he dwells, and the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, that we are the children of God. Notice if you would in verse number 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. Now, get that word knoweth. We're going to look at that a little bit later on. And so, no man, natural man, can know the things of God unless they are revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean that you can't know some scripture. Doesn't mean that you can't know some theology. But you can't know the deep things of God without the Holy Spirit of God revealing them to you. He says in verse 11 again, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. In other words, our spirit the Holy Spirit uses our spirit to reveal to us things of God once our spirit's been made alive. We'll get back to that in a moment. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now notice here, man's wisdom is man's ability in his soul to think, to reason things out, to to weigh things out, to take intellect, his knowledge of things that he's gathered, and try to think things through and weigh things out and try to figure out what is God's thoughts, what is God's ways. But the Bible says God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts not our thoughts. They're so much higher. They're as high as heaven is from the earth. So is God's ways and thoughts higher than ours. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9. But those of you would that the Holy Ghost in verse 13 is what God uses to teach those of us who are saved. He teaches us by the Holy Ghost through our spirit. And we're going to look at that function of the spirit in a moment. Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Now, knows this. Somebody said, well, I know God as well as anybody else knows God. Not if you're not saved, you're not. Only the Holy Spirit of God can reveal God and things of God, as we'll see. Knows if you would, he says, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We're going to get on that word discerned in a moment. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual. Now, a spiritual, where he talks about spiritual, he talks about a mature Christian who understands and has an understanding of his spirit and also is able to discern and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to his spirit and to react from the Holy Spirit dealing with his spirit. That's what makes us spiritual. As the Holy Ghost teaches us and leads us, we'll look at in just a moment. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, we do know that the word of God has judged us. It's judged things. We don't have to ask, is it wrong to steal? The word of God doesn't declare it. It's wrong to steal. I'm not judging you if I say it's wrong for you to steal. I'm not judging you when the word of God has already judged you. But that's not what he's talking about in verse 15. He said, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now we're going to get to that in just a moment too. That falls along with that spiritual discernment. So tonight I want us to look and remember that the thoughts, the emotions, and will is reckoned in the soul. That's not where God speaks to us at. He speaks to us in our spirit. That's why we need to understand our spirit. There's actually several functions of the spirit, but there's three main ones. One we'll call intuition. Now, intuition is the spirit sensing things of God. And we'll show you that here in a moment, and you'll have a better understanding as we get into this. The other thing is communion. Our spirit is where we commune with God. We're going to try to get in that next week. And also the conscious. Somebody says, well, the conscious doesn't play a role in our spiritual lives when we have the Holy Spirit. But listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 9, verse 1. He said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. And so the conscience also plays a role when you get saved in what the Holy Spirit of God wants us to understand from God. Now, when we talk about intuition, we're talking about the senses of the Spirit. Intuition is when our inner man senses things that we do not audibly hear, we do not know. Someone has not written that we've seen, but we know it because God reveals himself to us, and he also reveals his will to us. As so many times I have people ask me, preacher, I wonder if this is the will of God. Well, if you learn to be spiritual, you'll learn how to discern the will of God because he'll reveal. Now, we know the written word of God reveals his will. But sometimes there's certain things about we wonder, and we'll look at that in a moment. We wonder about if it's God's will that we do this or we do that, and we'll show you how that God reveals that to us. But it's through intuition. Now, it's important to understand intuition is a way in which God acts. God doesn't have a commandment or a rule book that he reads. He works off his own intuition. What he knows and what he does through intuition. He doesn't do it because someone tells him to do it, because someone he does it because of intuition. The angels, which are spiritual as well. God is a spirit, and that's why he works off intuition. When our spirit's made alive, we become spiritual. Angels do not have a rule book that God says, read this. They respond and obey God by intuition. And so therefore, they sense what God would have them to do. When we become spiritual, we have the ability to have intuition as well. In other words, our spirit has the ability to have some thoughts. It also has the ability to have feelings and to have some desires. Let me read you a few scriptures that deals with this relating to our spirit. Not our heart, not our soul. Listen to this. A spirit indeed is willing, Jesus said, but the flesh is weak in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. In Mark chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, perceiving in his spirit. In other words, he was able to perceive. He was able to discern something. He was able to pick something up. Sighed deeply in his spirit. In Mark chapter number 8, verse 12, in Luke 1, 47, says, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. So your spirit's able to rejoice. Of course, John chapter 4, verse 23, is a very common verse. The Bible says God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Also, the Bible said, groan in spirit in trouble in John 11, 33. The spirit was stirred when Paul saw amount of adultery that was in the city in Acts chapter 17, verse 16. He was fervent in the spirit in Acts chapter 18, verse 25. He purposed in the spirit in Acts 19, 21. What my point is, your spirit is just not a blob. Yes, it's invisible, but it's personal. And your spirit is active. It's not just something that's there, but it's very active. It has the ability to feel. It has the ability to think. It has the ability, according to these scriptures, to have certain desires. Now, communion allows us to worship God and to glorify God in who he is. And, of course, conscience bears witness against us or for us about things that we do. And that's what Paul was relating to in Romans chapter 9. Now, when we think about intuition, we think about the spirit sensing things. It's not from the heart, it's from the spirit. And so it comes from within. God always speaks to us from within. An example is, have you ever thought to do something, or someone's told you to do something, or everybody else was doing something, and you started to do something, and you're saved, and as you're getting ready to try to do it, there's something that you sense coming from within you. Not an audible voice, not a muttering that you can understand, but there is a sense within you not to do that. There's an intuition that God is giving you not to do it. And so sometimes we sense that we ought not to do that thing. Even though we started to do it in our mind and heart, we decided we'd do it, then all of a sudden there was something from within. Same thing happens sometimes, is sometimes we have just the opposite. We have something inside of us sensing us that we ought to go do something. I've had sometimes God to give me the intuition to go visit somebody and lay upon my heart. I remember one of the saddest things I ever did was one Sunday. Someone asked me to go visit their niece. And I told them I would do it the next day. And instead of my flesh was tired, I'd been busy that week, and I decided to do it on Monday. Well, that Sunday, she was involved in an auto accident and got killed. There was an intuition that told me I should have went before I ever heard that news. And when I heard that news, you said, do you believe that came from God? I believe it was the Holy Spirit of God making God's will known to me. It wasn't something that I could read in Scripture. Intuition comes from the Holy Spirit speaking to our spirit, something that God wants us to do. And sometimes we refer to it as being moved by the Spirit. You ever told somebody that the Spirit from within you just moved you to do that thing? Sometimes someone gives a testimony and they said, "Preacher, I was just moved by my spirit to say something. I was just moved to sing that song. I was just moved to go do that." Sometimes I've seen someone go over and put their arm around someone and they said, "Just God moved upon me to do that." One of the dearest women in my life, she was 90-some years old. I was in a church service. Didn't even know she knew who I was. I was standing there lost. And she come up one day, and she put her arm around me and told me and called me by name, said she's praying for me, wanting to see me saved. Of course, being a young boy, it kind of embarrassed me a minute, but now she's one of the dearest women in my life. She was moved with intuition because it wasn't long after that, whenever I was saved, and God saved me. When our soul senses things, let me give you a couple examples there. Have you ever been somewhere where someone did something, maybe shouted or run or something, and other people would see them do it, and then all of a sudden they decide to do it? That's your soul. That's coming from outside in. That's not coming from inside out. Intuition is when God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to your spirit to do something. It's not when you see other people do it and you decide to jump into the crew. Another one we could use is, how about our ears? You know why so many places play music that moves the flesh so much? Because it stirs the flesh. It comes from outside. You want to know what makes sweet music to your heart? It's the words of a song that brings out truths of the Holy Scriptures. And though they are made real to your heart, and therefore what you do is you want to rejoice to God. That's what intuition does. Flesh and your soul sensing things and rejoicing and carrying on. Your soul, when it's stirred from things outside instead of stirred, God always speaks from the inside through intuition. The Holy Spirit dwells in our spirit, as I said. That's why the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, that he that is in us is greater than he, the devil, that is in the world. Satan always attacks from the outside. He deceives and leads astray from the outside, working through our lust and our sensations of our flesh, from our body, then to our soul. Now, keep your hands, if you would, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let me go back and read a verse again. Look in verse 13. He says, "Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth." Now, man's wisdom, again, is man's way of figuring things out, his way of trying to understand. And, you know, the mind can understand, but it takes a spirit to really know something. He said, "But which the Holy Ghost teacheth," comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now turn, if you would, in 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 20, "But ye have an unction." The word unction means anointing. And it's not anointing like a lot of them tries to run off today and use. It means the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost. Now, notice what this unction does. "But ye have an unction from the Holy Ghost, and ye know all things." The function of the Holy Ghost is to let you know some things that you otherwise wouldn't know. We may know. There are some things I know. I'll get into those just a moment, but look on, if you would, in verse 27. He says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you." That's of God. "And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it is hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, let me say this. Does the Holy Spirit, and by the way, John is teaching right there against a lot of false teachers, Antichrist and those things. But the Holy Ghost of God is given to us to teach us things of God. We can know the things of God by that intuition that the Bible says. Look back, if you would, in our text in verse number 10. Remember what it said? But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Knows, if you would, as well, in verse number 11. He says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. In other words, we may know some things of God. The Holy Spirit enables us to know some things. I'll show you a verse or two in a moment, but right now I want you to think about this. Let me use the example of when God called me to preach. Now, that night I was coming from service and God had been dealing with me about preaching. And I knew what God wanted me to do. He'd been convicting me about it. Each night of the revival service, he was dealing with me. On the way home that night, it was a Wednesday night, the third night, I was so convicted about it that what I did was I got less than a mile from the church and just pulled my truck. I was driving an old truck. Pulled it off in the ditch line. And I fell in the ditch. And I began to cry out to God. And I told God that I was not able. There's no way I could preach. There's no way that I had the ability to stand before people. And in my heart, in my spirit, he revealed to my heart that no man can without him. Now I know, even though I can't find it in the book, I know that God called me to preach. I know that from intuition. His Holy Spirit revealed it to my spirit, and my spirit revealed it to my soul, and my spirit surrendered the very next night. As a matter of fact, it surrendered that night, and the very next night revival, I shared with everybody that I had surrendered my will unto God to preach his word. I know. And God let me know that. I know in whom I have believed. I know God is real. I know heaven is real, beyond a shadow of doubt. The Holy Spirit of God has let me know some things about God. Now, let me say this. Getting back to preaching. I'll make some people mad, but let me just go ahead and throw this in. If I was not qualified at the time when God called me to preach, it's not the Holy Spirit leading me. The Holy Spirit does not direct you to do something that the Scriptures teaches against. And so therefore, what you need to realize is that the Holy Spirit of God always is consistent with the Word of God. And so he'll never, if you say, well, I feel I'm being led to do something contrary to what the Bible teaches, you're not being led by the Holy Spirit of God through your spirit. That's not intuition. That's your soul leading you and deceiving you, because a lot of times you have alternative motives of why you want to do something. Have you ever seen somebody say, well, I destroyed the church, I split the church because I felt the Spirit of God wanted me to do that? You got the wrong spirit, my friend. That's not the Spirit of God leading you to do that. That's not intuition. Intuition is where God. And intuition is no loud sound. It's a small, still voice impressing upon us. And sometimes it's not. Our heart knows what he wants us to do. And what he does is he reveals God's will to our spirit. And then our spirit reveals it to our soul, what God would have us to do. And you know what? We don't have to ask anybody when God does that. We know exactly that it's coming from God. The second thing I want you to notice about intuition is not only the anointing, the teaching, the instruction that the Holy Spirit does to us. And I know they use that word anointing in all kinds of ways, but let's use it scripturally, what the Bible says. Also discernment. Remember over there where he said that they were not spiritually discerned? Look back, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yea, he himself is judging no man. Now, again, remember John over there, we just read, he was concerned with all these false teachers and so forth. Intuition, the Holy Spirit through intuition helps our spirit recognize and realize and discern what's truth and what's lies. Let me use an example. Have you ever seen somebody, someone who claims to preach? You don't know anything about them. You don't even have a reason to feel that way. But something in your inner man tells you there's something wrong. Even before you hear him say something wrong, there's just something that his spirit does not relate to your spirit. And you know there's something wrong with that individual. I have. I've had several different ones. As a matter of fact, many of the TV evangelists, I used to burn some of them up, but people remind me I've now become a TV evangelist. So I'll try to tread a little bit lightly here. But anyway, all jokes aside, there's times when you see people and there's something inside of you saying, they're nothing but a fake. This prosperity preaching, making people filthy rich through the gospel, those people are going to have a lot of accounting when they stand before God. Listen, I believe if a man saved, he ought to have enough spiritual discernment to stay away from people like that. They shouldn't fill their coffers and fill their billfolds up with stuff being deceived. You can get into the Word of God and recognize. And you know, they want to claim that all these riches and making them rich and sending your seeds to them and all that kind of stuff is God's will. Show me that in the Bible. The Holy Ghost don't teach no such thing. And on the same token, have you ever met people? And even though you're not dealing with people, you know that there's something within your spirit just lets you know that they're not real. You say, well, preacher, do you have any scripture? Jesus did that. Of course, Jesus knew all things. But I want you to notice what it says in Mark chapter 2 in verse number 9 or verse number 8. Mark chapter 2, verse number 8. Listen to what he says. The Bible says, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, not his heart, not his mind, but in his spirit, that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? In other words, what he was doing was, he said, listen, he says, his spirit detected something. He said, you're not Jesus. You're absolutely right. But you know, the Bible says that when we're spiritual, we have the mind of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit of God is a co-equal part of Jesus. And therefore, when there's something not right, if we are spiritual and if we are in a place where we can discern God's will and God's teachings, his anointings and his leadership through the Holy Ghost in our spirit, his spirit many times will tell us when things are not right. And you say, well, does he not teach everything in the Bible? Yes, he makes known those things. But he also makes known the will of God. He makes known things that we don't have written in Scripture. That happens in our spirit after our spirit's been made alive. And the last thing I want you to see is the revelation. Now, notice here in verse 10 that the Bible reminds us that he reveals things, and he reveals them by revelation. Now, when I speak revelation, I'm not talking about dreams, visions. I'm not talking about heavenly voices coming down. I'm talking about things that we know. The Bible tells us that when we have eternal life, that we know the Father and we know Jesus Christ, his Son. He reveals those things to us. Those that are without the Spirit, they can rationalize God, but they can never know God. They can rememberize Scripture, and they can know some things about theology, but they never know God. and they never truly understand God. The mental part of man cannot know God, nor the things of God. Paul made us known here in this scripture that we read. And so God reveals them solely to a man's spirit that has been made alive. And he reveals them by his Holy Spirit. Now, with the mind, we can understand. But with the heart, or with the spirit, we can know certain things. God's revelation is revealed to us in two types. One is direct revelation. God has a particular wish for a believer to do, and he reveals it to our spirit. I was talking about answering call to preach. No one else in the whole world heard that but me. God didn't speak that to nobody else. He spoke it to me. It was individual. It was something direct that he wanted. And so I reacted to the known will of God because I knew for sure that that was God's will. Sometimes God shows you his will is to move and go to another church. Sometimes it may be God's will to go do something. Sometimes it may be God's will for you to take on a responsibility. And God reveals it to you. And he makes known to you. That's direct. Usually God deals directly with revelations to people as they mature spiritually. People that's not as mature, they have a revelation that's sought of God. That's when a believer has a special need and he approaches God and he seeks help. And he begins to wait upon God to show him. And what he's waiting upon is for God to move his spirit on it. Have you ever heard somebody say this? I'm waiting for God to give me peace about it. They may not understand what they're trying to say is. What they're trying to say is, I'm waiting for God to show me what to do in this matter. I tell people sometimes, especially people wanting to answer call to preach, they say, well, I think God's calling me to preach. What should I do? I said, do nothing until God reveals it to you. If he's calling you to preach, he'll make it known to you that he wants you to preach. What happens is, and so many times other people come in and say, well, one of these days God's going to call you to preach. You don't know that. You need to be quiet. Listen, the Holy Spirit is perfectly capable of calling any men that he wants to into the ministry. He don't need your assistance. And what we do sometimes is, if enough people goes and tells somebody something like that, their soul gets thinking, their mind gets thinking, and all of a sudden, they decide they're being called into the ministry. I tell you what, they make a mess out of it. When God calls you, I not only believe that he calls you and you know it, but listen, I believe he's got a purpose for you down the road when he calls you. And I believe he'll put you to place to prepare you for that purpose, and he'll make a way. I've seen it happen, I know, in my life. I know he took me and he put me in a place where I could be taught and prepared for the ministry. All believers that has a spirit that's been awakened, that's been made anew, that's been brought back from the dead, made alive, has ability to receive intuition from God. And remember, it arrives from within, and the soul arrives with man. Now, God communes with us entirely, as I said, by his spirit, and we need to quit trying to reason and understand God with our minds. That's not how God reveals himself. He reveals it through intuition in our spirit. And I'll tell you what, when God has truly revealed something to you, you can know it. You say, why do you spend so much time with this soul, spirit, and body? Because so many Christians are so confused by why they think certain ways, why they do certain things, why they feel certain ways, and they don't even have an understanding at all about what the Spirit's there to do. When you have a better understanding, as Paul's trying to teach to be spiritual, when you have a better understanding, then when the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you, then you have a better understanding. That's why the Bible says, let's go back and we're going to close right here. That's why the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. What does it mean that they lust against? They lust to have the soul, the mind, emotions, and will of you and me to follow them. The flesh wants you to follow them. The spirit wants you to follow it. And so there's a constant battle. And so each day and each time, when the intuition comes to us from God through the Holy Spirit, and it goes contrary to what our soul thinks, what our soul does, because sometimes God reveals something to us that goes right against the way we always thought. I tell people this sometimes. They come and they have these ideas, and especially people have philosophies. You need to let God show you things. And the Holy Spirit of God, I really believe this. I believe people that are truly saved, if you will get still, draw nigh to God, I believe the Holy Ghost of God, through his unctioning power, will teach you what you need to know. I don't think a man, when he gets saved, needs to be taught that the church is important. I believe that. I believe the Holy Ghost of God, not only does the Word teach you that, I believe the Holy Ghost of God leads you that. I don't believe you have to, I don't believe you have to fight and beg and plead with somebody, come back and be baptized. I believe the Holy Ghost of God deals with you on that. And so tonight, I want you to understand one of the greatest functions of the Holy Spirit is to make known God to us and God's will to us by his Holy Spirit through our spirit. And then once he does that, we latch on to it. We can have a vague understanding, but there is still things about God I know, but I cannot put into words. But I know in my heart. That's the way it is. Because God has revealed that through his scripture, even though I can't come to an understanding and fully understand. I don't understand the existence of God. From the very beginning, always been God. That's way above my pay grade. So tonight, I hope that you'll latch on and understand what it means when we talk about the intuition that God deals. You see, spiritual beings, God works with spiritual beings, angels, and our spirit with intuition. And of course, angels doesn't have the soul. And so therefore, our soul has a responsibility to respond to that leadership. But then next week, we will get into our spirit. A great function of it is being able to commune with God and worship God, and how our spirit plays a role in us worshiping God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We pray for our church. Pray for all the members out there, dear Heavenly Father, and the absence of the gathering together. And Lord, we pray that you would bring us together safely come Sunday, and you would put a safeguard around us. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray you just build hedges around each one. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of being able to come back together. We thank you for the opportunity tonight of being able to come before the people live and cross through this recorded broadcast. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you would use it, that people may be able to better understand the spiritual side of being a Christian. We understand a little bit about the carnal side, but sometimes we fall short in trying to understand the spiritual side. We pray that we made it simple enough that each and every person could understand, dear Heavenly Father, and help me to have clarity in my mind as I try to teach. And Lord, forgive us where we fall short. We love you and we need you in each and everything that we do. And dear Heavenly Father, through this study, if it ought to do anything to us, it ought to let us realize how much we need you. And Lord, how much we can't depend upon our own self. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray, open our eyes to that. We ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.